Pastor mentioned that God just kind of dropped this message. And it was very interesting because it was after Thanksgiving. It was in December. And I had just a really busy time, and my devotions really weren't that great. So I had a few minutes on a Saturday morning before I had to go do something, and I thought, I need to just be with the Lord. I have not seen him for a while. Like, even though we have that presence with us, but you know, you just, how would your wife or your husband feel that every day you just gave him a peck on the cheek and took off out the door? And even though you thought of him and sent him texts in that day, you didn't really spend quality time with him. And so I had my coffee, and I'm like, here I am. Remember me? You know, I miss you. And he just went, boom. And he just dropped this into my spirit. And I thought, at first I thought it was just for me. And then as I wrote it down, I was like, Lord, is this for me or is this for more than me? And lo and behold, he had, I guess it's for more than me. So it's entitled, this is what he spoke to me. I'm just going to deliver it exactly how the Lord gave it to me. I was sitting there with my coffee, and he said, when you live in extreme times and difficult conditions, you must do intentional things to survive. I'll read it again. When you live in extreme times and difficult conditions, you must do intentional things to survive. And not just survive, but thrive. So it was very clear to me that we are not desperate at all. We're more than conquerors. We are victorious and more than conquerors. However, we're not desperate, but the times are desperate. The times are extreme, and the times are desperate. And so the Lord began to speak to me about spiritual survival skills. Spiritual survival skills. Basic things that I needed to have for this time, this season. Maybe it's a season of a spiritual winter. I really don't know. But this is what he laid on my heart. And some of you know this. I really like survival shows. I love them, okay? There's like, I don't know what it is, but there's something about, and not the ones where there's a competition where they win money. I mean, those are entertaining, but I like the man versus nature stuff. And I watch those because I'm just amazed at how people figure stuff out and what you would do, you know, when elements are against you. You know, even I went skiing with Eden the other day. It's frigid. There was a wind chill warning, and we were on a ski lift, like way high in the elevation. I don't know what I was thinking. I'm about to be 50. She's 18, so you try to get that this body trying to keep up with that body. And I'm like, are you sore? And she's like, oh, no, I feel great. I'm like, oh, my God, I am so sore. And I'm like, you want to go another run? She goes, yeah. I'm like, okay. Here we go. And she's about speed, man. She's about getting down the mountain. And I'm like going like back and forth and back and forth. And I like to enjoy the nature of it. And she's just flying down the mountain. She's like, where you been? I'm like, well, she likes the speed. I like the experience, you know. And it's really funny because when she was 10 and she skis the same way now at 18. Just boom, down the mountain. I'm like, don't you want to be a little finessey? No, I like the fastness part of it. I'm like, oh, I like to go back and forth. But while I was going back and forth, I was thinking, how would I survive if, like, my ski broke? And like, I just was thinking about it. I just think that's a kind of interesting thing. And then doomsday. One thing I want to be clear about, this is not the end of the world message. Okay, this isn't like we live in extreme times. Oh, my God, it's the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. In fact, I believe that we're on the brink of a major move of God. I believe a great awakening. I mean, we are going to see a bigger move than the Jesus movement. I mean, this is where we're headed. But the Lord said, in order to get to that place, you have to survive extreme times. And so, I don't know about you, but I've watched some doomsday prepper shows before. And I was just curious about it. So I watched one, and I was thinking that I was going to find people that were like a little bizarre, you know. But I actually found some brilliant people. I mean, there was one episode that I saw, and a gentleman and his son made gasoline. They hadn't bought gasoline for years. They made their own gasoline. I mean, I'm happy if I make my own bed. Okay? I feel successful. I made my bed today. I'm successful. They're making gasoline. So I'm impressed. But the one thing that I found about the show is they were very single-focused. It's really all they thought about. When they were not working, they were prepping. They were preparing. They were making. They were preparing. So that's just the intro, but there's three things that the Lord told me on that Saturday. When you live in extreme times and difficult conditions, you must do intentional things to survive. And he gave me three basic survival skills. And I'm sure there are many today that you could think of, but I'm just going to give you the three that he gave me. One is know how to build a fire. There's something about building a fire psychologically when you're in extreme conditions. To be able to build a fire, just psychologically, that just gives you feel victorious. I've even seen some of the survivor shows where before they even go look for food and water, we're building a fire. We're building a fire. Know how to build a fire. And so last week, Pastor talked a lot about, before I go there, there's three things you need to build a fire. You need a spark, you need oxygen, and you need tinder, kindling. I can't say that very good. The stuff to burn with, some kind of debris, small sticks. You know all this, Pastor Gary. And I'm going to get a little allegorical for a minute, but the way the Lord presented it to me was Jesus is the spark. He's the fire starter. The Holy Spirit is the oxygen. He's the wind that blows upon our lives. But we're the tinder. What do you have stored up? Pastor talked about the wise virgins. They had oil. They were prepared. They had something stored up. What is your tinder? What do you have available to bring to the spark to catch on fire within your soul? I'm talking about being able to stir up and build a fire within your soul when everything around you is a whirlwind or extreme. And I'm not even saying that you're in a specific trial. I'm just saying in general, the spiritual atmosphere is extreme right now. Can you build a fire? And then the Lord took it a step further. He said, can you build a fire with wet wood? And I'm like, that's impossible, because every survivor show I have watched, whenever there's wet wood, they just like, we're going to die. Like, we can't make fire, you know, and they just shiver, you know, they're done. But so I didn't think it could be done. I thought it was impossible. So like me, I'm sure you're like this, that when you don't know if you can do something, you immediately Google it. I love that. I mean, we're so spoiled now. If I can't figure something out, I'm like Googling it. And you actually can. You actually can build a fire using wet wood. However, you have to get the log. You have to break the log open. And then you have to purposely dig. Dig and find the fabric of the wood that is dry enough that a spark and some oxygen can get a hold of and create a fire. You have to take a log, you have to open it up, and you have to dig like your life depends upon it, and you have to find some tinder in here that when you need it, you can bring it available, and the spark can get a hold of it, and you're stirred up, and it doesn't matter what's happening in the environment, because in your spirit, you're on fire. You can have your own personal revival. And I think the person that gives us a great example of this is David. And in Samuel, we find David and his men return to the city. And prior to that, the Amalekites had visited the city, burned it to the ground, and took their wives and their children. They took their most valuable possessions. That would be like, let's put ourselves in his perspective. That would be Pastor Roger takes all the men of our church. They go away for a weekend to seek the Lord, to do things for God. When they return, they find that the church has been burned to the ground, and all of the women and children, sons, daughters, gone. So this is where David's at. I would say that's an extreme situation. He comes, and then it gets a little bit... This is what, I'll just read it. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. These are grown men. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. So not only you realize what's happening, and now we're going from bad to worse, to much worse. Stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, and every man, his son, and his daughters. So now they're grieved, and they want to stone David. These men probably already were taking, you know how men think? They were already blaming themselves. David was probably already taking responsibility. Why wasn't I here? I should have known something. That's what men do, right? They take responsibility for their families. I should have been here. So he didn't need to be stoned. He was probably already beating himself up somewhat. So David has a decision to make. And what he does next is powerful. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. David knew how to build a fire with wet wood. He went away from what was happening and began to dig, strengthen himself. I don't know how he did it. I'm sure worship was involved. I'm sure the word was involved. Your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's David. All Psalms 119 is about the power of the word and what David had stored up within him. He probably encouraged himself about who God was and whether God was for him. He probably worshiped him. And then the next statement is, so this is what he does. He encourages himself, strengthens himself in the Lord. Nobody else did it. David did it. And then this is why God says he's a man after my own heart. No matter what's happening, he goes after God. He knew how to build a fire. So David inquired of the Lord saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? You know, I think this is so much truth right here about who David was. So he's building. David just didn't get angry and go. How many of us, I'm going to tell you right now, I, as a woman, not even a man who maybe likes the whole warrior thing, I would be going. If something was going on with my kid, I'm going to do something. I have no idea the evil that my children and wife have fallen into. That's what David's thinking. Not even letting his imagination go. This is evil. He doesn't even pursue them until God says to go. He has enough sense that he knows, I'm not even going to go. He strengthens himself first. And because he strengthened himself, he was able to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said, and then he said, shall I pursue this troop? He knew that if God didn't go with him, he had no victory. He would not have a victory. And then the Lord said, pursue, for you shall overtake them. Without fail, recover all. Hallelujah. He didn't inquire first. He strengthened himself in the Lord. The word for us this morning is know how to build a fire using wet wood. Know how to build a fire. Know how to get the flame going on your own in extreme times and difficult conditions. The second point that the Lord told me was stay awake. You know, in the survivor shows, especially when it's cold, they're like smacking them in the face and putting stuff under their nose. Stay awake, because if they fall asleep, they're going to die. This is a time that we need to be spiritually awake. And I want to read Luke 22, verse 44. We have Jesus in the garden, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he arose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. He then says to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Very interesting. Matthew and Mark have the same account of that. They have the same account of the same story, of the same event, the same night. But it's the physician Luke who actually puts his finger on why they sleep. Matthew and Mark don't speak of it, but the physician knows that something psychologically, physiologically is happening, that they're sleeping. And it says he found them sleeping from sorrow, grief. The interesting thing is the disciples really didn't know all that was happening. They knew something was happening. They didn't know. But another interesting thing is these aren't men that are sleepers. I mean, they have pulled fishing all night. They have fished all night. They have pulled many all-nighters. There's even stories where they're going across the sea of Galilee and Jesus is walking on water at night. So these aren't guys that are just going to fall asleep at the drop of the hat. And sometimes it's kind of presented like that to us. So they're just sleeping. They couldn't even pray. Something else was influencing them that night. Something else was at work that night. Jesus was on his face in the garden. He was in an epic battle for the souls of mankind. He was interceding in a way that probably no man or woman has ever interceded, to the point where capillaries were breaking and blood and sweat were now mingled together, dropping on the ground. Something was happening in the atmosphere. Something was influencing them and they were falling asleep. And the word for you today is, why do you sleep? Jesus said, why do you sleep? This isn't the time to sleep. He was concerned about them. He was interceding for them because it wasn't a time to sleep. It was a time to rise and pray. It was a time to be alert. He was concerned for them. The least they fall in temptation. He knew what was coming. He was concerned for them. We are in a season of our spiritual lives that we cannot sleep. And the word of the Lord would be today, what is causing you to sleep? What is I'll tell you, discouragement and despair will cause you to fall asleep spiritually faster than Ambien and any other sleep aid. If you want to be natural, melatonin. It will cause you to fall asleep faster than any sleep aid. I mean, I've experienced it. Let me read one more. Ephesians 5. You guys are awesome. Ephesians 5, verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Why do you sleep? Expose it. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed and made manifest in the light, for whatever makes manifest in the light is the light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. What causes you to sleep? You need to expose it. What are you putting in your mind? What are you focusing on? What are you looking at? What are you reading? What are you not doing? What is causing you to sleep? Is it discouragement? Is it despair? I'm not going to fill in the blank for you, but the Lord right now will begin to show you what is causing me to sleep spiritually. Because the word of the Lord today is rise and pray. This is the time that we should rise and pray. So whatever is keeping you from doing that, expose it. Expose it. And today the Lord will free you from that. I believe that. He will. A lot of times it's just truth. Just knowing what it is. Sometimes we don't know what it is. Sometimes it's the fact that apathy has entered in, and it could just be the fact that we're not getting enough sleep or that our diet's not very good. It could just be physical. But I think in this season that we're in, I think the Lord is speaking spiritually. What is spiritually causing you to sleep? And the third point is, don't journey alone. Don't journey alone. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 and 12. And this is an interesting scripture. It's very simple, but tons of wisdom in it. Verse 9 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. Now, let me just be clear about this. A lot of times people read this and hear this, and it's been used many times for weddings and things like that. You can be single and not be alone. So all the single ladies and the single men, you can be single and not be alone. So don't listen to this word and think, oh, I'm not married and I'm alone. And it says not to be alone. That's not what it's saying. It's saying don't journey alone. Don't go it alone. The word of the Lord for you today would be don't go alone. Don't go it alone. When you're tempted to go alone, know that that's not the Lord. Don't go it alone. In fact, I want to read Proverbs 18 real quick, because it talks about that. Proverbs 18, verse 1. Proverbs 18, verse 1. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desires, and rages against all wise judgment. A man who isolates himself. So when the enemy tries to isolate you, to go it alone, you need to resist that. Because Jesus gave us the example. He called 12 men. God Almighty, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Son of God. He had 12 with him. He did not go it alone. If anyone could have, he could have. But he didn't. He had 12. And in the 12, he had three that were close to him. And in the three, I think you can tell by John, his conversations with John and Peter, that there was even more of an intimate relationship. He spoke to them about their frailties, about their weaknesses. It was a lot more intimacy with the two. When you're tempted to go it alone, it's a lie. Yeah. And let me pray for a minute, because I just want to pray for a second. Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, whatever wants to resist that, Lord, we just bind it in Jesus' name, because it's your truth. We just bind rejection and any of those things that would try to isolate us away from your love. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Don't go it alone. If you're tempted to go, pull that, that's a high thing. Don't go it alone. That's a dangerous thought. That's a dangerous thought. Thank you, Lord. And the other thing about not journeying alone is a friend of mine, she had a mentor, and her mentor always challenged her with this principle. And she would always say, who are you bringing alongside you? Who are you bringing along with you? And so she was young at the time, but as she grew in the local church and as she grew, more influence the Lord gave her. But it was always a principle that she kept in front of herself, always. Who am I pouring into? Who am I investing in? And the Lord would say to you, who are you pouring into? Who are you investing in? Besides your own family, besides your own legacy, who are you pouring in? Who are you bringing alongside you? Who are you doing that? The Lord is asking you to not journey alone, but bring someone alongside you. And it's really interesting. I don't know if you have ever had this happen when you guys have been up here, but I feel like there's just a resistance a little. And I just want to pray for him. And not a resistance from people, but just there's something about, I think this is more important than I realized. I actually thought this third point wasn't as important as the other two points. But as I'm speaking it, I think that it really is. And so we just bind any kind of sleep over our minds in Jesus' name. We bind any mind control right now in Jesus' name that would keep us from really hearing what you're saying. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father God, that you are that what we used to do in the past, we will no longer do it. We will no longer be in the past, Lord, but you're wanting to bring us up into the future. You're calling us up into a different place, a different place. And so I thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, we choose today to not journey alone. We choose today to not journey alone. Which brings me to the next point of unity. Unity is key. No wonder I wasn't able to get to it. Unity. Unity is key. Ephesians 4. Verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring means to continuously try. Endeavoring means that to contend for it. Endeavor, it is your responsibility to stay unified. It is your responsibility to walk worthy of the call that is upon your life. It is up to you to stay unified. We are one body, one people. When the Lord wants to bring us into a new land, we're initiating things this new season. We are going into occupy, to possess. We must be a unified body. It is your responsibility, you, me, I'm talking to myself, to be unified. We must continuously try, which means if we have to continuously try, exactly, then it means we have to practice. You know, if it just said, oh, it's just easy, just a one-time shot. Endeavoring means it's an action verb. We're moving, we're doing, we're continuously trying. So if you mess up, just continuously try to do, you know, not try to do better, but you know what I'm saying. continuously be open to unity is your responsibility. That's key. That's key. We must be open to, and I thought too that peace, the bond of peace. So the bonding agent of unity is peace. That's the bonding agent. That's the glue. That's what keeps it unified is peace. If you don't have peace, there's a good chance you're not in unify. You're not in unity. Unity will be the key to our success in this new season. And it will be tested. We live in a world that's not very unified. In fact, it's kind of encouraged, really. You know, it's kind of encouraged to not be super unified. That's okay, be individual. And we're not saying that you lose who you are. We're just saying that we contend for one another. We contend for listen to this. With all lowliness. See, I just kind of read over that stuff sometimes. We don't usually use the term lowliness a whole lot. So sometimes I'll just read over stuff and I don't really realize what it's saying. Because it's real easy to preach it and read it. It's really difficult to actually implement it in your life. So here's what it says. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering. And here you go. Bearing with one another in love. Or preferring. Preferring one another in love. Really easy to preach that. So easy to just say it. Yeah, everybody, prefer one another in love. And see me at the buffet, whether I'm preferring the person in front of me to go get some chicken wings. You know what I mean? Like, it's so easy, and I have to challenge myself, and the Lord challenges me, because it's so easy to do that on a Sunday morning up here. But then tomorrow morning, will I be doing that? And that's where he's saying we have to walk worthy of the call upon our lives. We can't do that anymore. We can't do the Sunday morning thing and then Monday through Friday do whatever your flesh wants to do. We can't do that anymore. We used to be able to do that, right? Come on, let's be honest, right? We used to be able to turn off the faucet. We're not going to be able to do that anymore. There's going to be too much deception. It's going to be extreme times, difficult conditions. You're not going to be able to turn the faucet on. I'm a Christian here, and, well, I won't be here. I'm going to be honest. I've done that before. I don't know if anybody else has, but I've done that. I look all together on a Sunday, but, man, Monday morning, and there's been a few times the Lord's convicted me, like, what are you doing? You know, because what I've done is I've, you know, fallen asleep. Something's influenced me. There was more going on. I gave myself over to something. I don't know, discouragement, frustration. We can't do that anymore. We have to walk worthy of the call. He's calling us up this next season. He's calling us up in order for us to go to. He's calling us up in order for us to go to. And we know there's a harvest involved, right? But the key is we need to be unified first. We need to be together, unified front. We need to walk into our promised land, occupied together. Then the harvest will come. Then the harvest will come. Amen? Amen. Then the harvest will come. But we need to be unified. We need to know how to build a fire with wet wood. We need to know how to encourage ourselves when there's nothing else to encourage us. If we look with our natural, we listen with our ears, we read on in the internet, we need to be able to encourage ourselves, build a fire using wet wood. We need to have our own fire stoked, whatever you want to say, Mr. Camper. And we need to stay awake. What has caused you to sleep? Because Jesus said this is not the time or the hour to sleep. This is a time to rise and pray. Awake, rise, and pray. So whatever the Holy Spirit has shown you that has caused you to sleep, you need to expose it to his light. And we need to be unified. We need to be unified. Whose responsibility is it to be unified? It's ours. It's an endeavor. That sounds like a little bit of work, right? It's an endeavor. So, Father God, I just thank you for today. I thank you, Father God, for the future that you have.
Lord, we thank you for your hand on us and your hand on this word today to our hearts. We thank you for the soil in each of our spirit to receive this. And I thank you, Lord, that your word always comes and accomplishes what it is proclaimed to do. And I thank you, Lord, that today, even more than ever, people can stir the fire up in their own soul. That it gives this word gives a capacity for a fresh flame and for not to slumber and fall asleep in the midst of these extreme times at all, but to be vigilant, be awake, be watching and praying. We thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for the anointing of a fresh season of watching and praying. And Lord, for this love to abound, that this unity of keeping this, endeavoring to keep the unity in the bond of peace. We praise you. Reach and touch somebody right there, if you would. Just as a symbol of our unity. Spirit of God, thank you for the current of your power that binds us together. The current of power, because it is in the Spirit of the Lord. Man. The Lord has a... There is a sadness in the Lord's heart relating to the lack of unity. I just felt that quickening in my own soul. I'm standing here. That there's a sadness. Would you make the Lord glad and shift anything inside that would be weak in the area of unity, in the to cause him to be glad-hearted with your effort to be strong in the Spirit together. As we've laid out these plans to create a stronger spiritual bond in our body life, I just thank you. I want to ask you to lay hold of each of these points and this week be brighter in the flame of God than ever. Be alert more than ever and be caring about one another in a way that causes the unity of our heart to be strong. Let's praise Him now. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Would you stand? Let's just stand and worship the Lord for a moment. Praise you, Lord. Lift your hands to Him. Say, Lord, let the fresh fire come upon me. Fresh fire. Fresh fire from God. Fresh fire. Fresh fire from the Lord. Hallelujah. It's my choice to stay awake, to not be asleep in the midst of discouraging times, but to be wide awake. Wide awake. Wide awake, walking with the Lord. Hallelujah.
Father God, I just pray for whoever has disqualified themselves because they don't feel like they have anything to contribute. And so they go it alone because they don't feel like they have anything to contribute. Lord, I just pray that you begin to heal that right now in
yes.
the name of Jesus.
Yes.
That is a lie from the pit of hell.
Yes.
You actually have everything to contribute and the Lord has need of you. So we just take the high thing down. That's a lie. I don't know when it was spoken to you, but it's a lie. You have much to bring to this. The Lord has need of you. Contribute.
Hallelujah.
Don't go it alone.
That's really important. Lift up your head. Would you do that? The Lord's not ashamed. He's not ashamed of anybody here. The Lord has covered us. If there's been disappointments that cause you want to pull away, allow those just to be gone today. Let the good shepherd come to you and say, you belong. You belong and be enveloped in His love and in this body. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. There you go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
The Lord's awakening some of you. He's awakening something in you that has been laying dormant for quite a long time. He's awakening. He's awakening. He's awakening now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Let's praise Him some more. Let's go ahead.
He's awakening your mind. He's awakening your spirit. He's awakening your destiny. The Lord is awakening you.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Go ahead and take somebody's hand there. Squeeze it a little bit and say, no more business as usual. Hallelujah. Man, we're in a holy place right now. Lift your heart to the Lord. Just in agreement here. The Lord always pours out His Spirit before He does the big deal. Unity is so important. He said, come. You know, come in the 120 were together in the upper room, and then the Holy Spirit came. It was the unity. and then the outpouring, and then the impact. Unity is so important to God. Thank you, Lord, for highlighting this theme to our heart. He's felt like, he says, I've had a disjointed body, out of not working, functioning, not functioning right. You are so valuable to add value to the person around you. You have no idea the level of gifting and character and all those things that will create encouragement. And the Lord is breaking discouragement today about your belonging.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Let's go ahead and just praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Let go of your hands. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you for establishing this word in our heart and our body. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
That mindset is broken right now in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
The mindset is broken. The mindset of I don't have anything to contribute. That is being broken right now off your minds in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. 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 The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And as we go today and we fellowship, I just want to ask that we'd step into this new season. Step into this new capacity of the Holy Spirit in our life together. Are you there?
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Amen.